What's up, folks? Welcome to the Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movie news and reviews. I'm your host, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my comrade, the Professor.
Yo, morning. What's going on?
What's going on, man?
Not much.
So, today, I'm going to get on here. We're going to talk about a few things DCEU. We've got a couple of news items that have come out over the past couple of weeks. And we just want to discuss the future of the DCEU because it looks kind of murky at this point. So let's just dive in and let's discuss some things and take a look at what's going on. So right now, my biggest question is the future of the Man of Steel storyline. Because, like, I mean, we've had some reports of release dates or, you know, shoot dates for Man of Steel 2, but we haven't had anything set in stone yet. And right now we're just, I mean, everything's pretty much just hanging on Justice League and how that's going to be received.
I agree with you. I think, and I'm not sure it's just the Man of Steel that they're kind of waving back and forth on. It seems like a lot of it, but that is kind of one of the bigger ones. But I think that right now, their whole universe is kind of on that razor edge, hoping that Justice League comes through the way they think it's going to. Because I think if Justice League comes out and it doesn't do well or it's not received well, it's going to be time to consider rebooting everything and starting over almost, because
yeah,
that'll be, what, the fourth movie?
Yeah.
Of the current, or fifth if you count Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that hasn't really hit on anything yet. You know,
only one of them has really hit to any kind of critical acclaim, and that's Supergirl, Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
you know, and that even that still had its, you know, detractors for certain parts of it.
Yeah,
but you know, I think anybody you talk to who's kind of a non-bias towards either side is going to tell you that Wonder Woman is definitely the best of the modern day DC movies so far.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it's like you could definitely see that there's like some kind of soft reboot coming up. I mean, I feel like with you know, Justice League, they're wading the waters to kind of see what happens. But we got, so I mean, so Zack Snyder's out and Joss Whedon is in as far as the direction of the reshoots, at least of the Justice League movie, and there's been a ton of reshoots.
Yep.
So it's like,
well, and one of the things I was reading is they're saying that even though he's in to do the reshoots, that they're not letting him change the tone in any way, shape, or form, that they want to try to keep it the same kind of tone that Snyder had.
Okay.
Which I guess makes sense, but
yeah,
you know, if you're bringing in somebody new to take over, and one of the things I first said when it first happened, before we really knew exactly the reasoning why, was it's going to be noticeable the differences in scenes from Zack Snyder to the differences in scenes from Joss Whedon, just because they're different directors, they're different types of guys.
Right.
Things, you know, Whedon tends to be more on the whimsical side. I mean, he has his serious moments too, but he tends to be more on the lighthearted. Whereas Snyder, you know, past couple movies tend to be a little more on the dark side. So
yeah, definitely.
It might be a weird contrast to see how this plays out when it finally comes out.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the key interest here. And I think a lot of people are now interested in Justice League now, hearing that Joss Whedon is going to be a part of that storytelling process. So, I mean, I definitely want to see how Whedon does with the reshoots. I mean, I know that the feel will still be consistent, but you can already tell, like, in the trailer, like, it's taking a little bit of a lighter tone. There are a lot of jokes that you're hearing, and there's much more fun with characters such as the Flash or Aquaman, you know, that you're not getting with other of the straight man characters like Batman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg, you know.
Well, yeah, and what makes me curious with these reshoots is now the announcement that they've cut Lex Luthor completely out of the movie.
Right. Yeah, that's like, right.
Why? You know, outside of one scene that was cut from Batman versus Superman, that kind of shows Luthor being the one who's bringing these people to Earth, he was kind of the link between, you know, Darkseid and and that whole side, the Steppenwolf and whatnot,
right?
And them coming to Earth. So you would think he would kind of be a major player.
Yeah, for somebody who's
Justice
like
League movie,
the fulcrum and the joiner of these two worlds. It's like, why isn't he in there? And are we going to feel it to the point where it's going to be a big enough issue where it could detract from the film?
Right. And is there going to be any kind of explanation as to where he is? You know, is he still in prison? Is he, has he been, you know, released by the by Steppenwolf and the Parademons? Or is he not even going to be referenced at all?
Right.
Like, is he being completely erased from the movie?
Yeah.
Which, you know, for me, given his performance in Batman vs. Superman, I wouldn't really have a problem with. But it's just kind of strange that you have this now major focal point from the last movie outside of Wonder Woman from Batman vs. Superman, and now he's not even going to be in the movie. He may not even be mentioned. Like, yeah. That, to me, is just kind of strange.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's like, speaking of actors that are like, we don't know if they're, what their future is with DC. I mean, like, you even got Ben Affleck, you know, who the biggest question is whether or not he's going to be in or out as Batman. But he's like the main focus of Justice League. But now we don't know what his future is going to be in the DCEU.
Yeah, nobody seems to know. I mean, that there's this, you know, one out, he wants out, he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. The next day it's, that's crap, he wants to be in, he wants to be in the whole way, he wants to do this, he wants to do that. You know, his brother comes out, and his brother says, he's not going to be doing the Batman standalone movie. And then a day later, his brother comes out and he goes, well, I didn't really mean that. And you're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, like, come on.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
And even he, you know, he came out, was it San Diego? The perfect chance to come out and say, yes, I'm going to be Batman. I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yep.
Definitively kill the rumor. And all he says is, hey, I'm playing the greatest character in the world as far as superheroes go. I'm loving it.
And he said he would. What did he say? He said he'd be like, he said he'd be a monkey on the ground for the director, because I think the director was doing he was doing Planet of the Apes. He did Planet of the Apes. So he was
Is that what that meant? Okay.
Yeah.
I never knew what that actually meant. I thought it was just one of the most bizarre statements I've ever heard.
Yeah, because he was like, well, this guy did Planet of the Apes, so he'd do anything to be an actor in this man's movies. So it's like, it wasn't a definitive yes, but he said it, but it was like one of those things where he said, like, I'd be a fool to not do this, but it doesn't really say if you're going to be in the movie or not, you know?
Yeah, and then it comes out, what, like maybe a month after that, that the Batman movie, The Batman, that he's not, the initial comment is that he's not going to be in it. It's going to be somebody else.
Yeah.
So, what is going, like, what, like, is going on here?
I don't know, man. And this is, and then you get like the news, like, hey, all right, so we're going to do a Nightwing standalone and we're going to do a Batgirl standalone movie. So it's like, are they prepping these characters to take these characters within the Bat family to take a more predominant role within the Batman Justice League universe? Is Nightwing going to transition from Nightwing to Batman? Because I know he did it in the comics, but it's like, like, it's just all over the place. Like, we didn't even get an intro to Dick Grayson. And if that's the route that they're going, so we got to get intro to a whole new character who we haven't even gotten an explanation for the graffiti Robin costume in Batman's mansion. Like, so you're going to put in an added dynamic that we don't even have any backstory for at all yet. I don't know, man.
It's the same story for Barbara Gordon, for the Batgirl. There's a whole movie planned for Batgirl. She hasn't been introduced. Nobody knows who she is.
Yeah.
Technically, as far as we know, she doesn't even exist in these movies, because they never mentioned that Gordon's got a daughter.
Yeah. It's like, we could get something in Justice League as far as us at least being able to see Commissioner Gordon, but we still don't have any promises.
Right. You know, and then the whole thing as well, the Batman movie is a standalone movie. It's not part of the DC universe. It's a separate universe alongside the DCEU. And you go, what? It's going to be a whole new actor. And then the director comes out a day later and goes, no. What I meant by standalone is there's not going to be any other DCEU actors in it. It's just going to be just a Batman movie. What?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what a standalone movie really means necessarily.
Right.
I mean, I guess it kind of is, but at the same time, this world you've built so far, why would you now build a unless it's a prequel of some kind?
Right.
Why would you build a Batman movie and not mention or have one of the other characters in it? That makes no sense.
Doesn't.
It really doesn't. Like, it's all this backtracking and all this, it's a whole new world. No, it's not really a whole new world, but it is a whole new world. I don't understand it. I don't understand how where they think that this is the kind of thing that's going to work out. It's so muddled.
Yeah.
I don't get where they have to think people are going to follow it.
And basically what it's doing is it's feeding into this whole idea that the Flash movie, now that it's called Flashpoint, is going to be the way that DCEU kind of addresses everything that they've been going through as far as the news and rumors is concerned. So swapping out Batman and all of this stuff, all this is going to happen within the Flashpoint storyline. So it's like DCWB is pretty much making a play like how Fox did with X-Men.
Right.
So it's just like, it's a sloppy cleanup, but it's a cleanup.
Well, it's the ultimate reset button when it comes right down to it. If you know when you follow the Flash, you know, like the boss and I do, you know that Flashpoint is basically, just real quick, it's Barry Allen going back in time and screwing up everything going forward because he changes things in the past. And that ends up just recreating the entire future. So it's the ultimate way for them to go, okay, Affleck doesn't want to be here anymore. He can go. We can put somebody else in, and then we can just blame it on Flashpoint. Or, you know, we can change the Joker from Jared Leto to Karen Gillan, who has said she wants to be the Joker, and move on from there. Nobody will say anything because we can just go, oh, it's Flashpoint. Things change. I agree with you. It's a sloppy way to do it. Yeah. It really is. You know, for all the faults people say Marvel has in some of their movies and all the things they don't like about some of the Marvel movies, they have the blueprint.
Yeah.
They laid their foundation. They put their blueprint on the table and they said, this is it. We're sticking to this. If we have to change an actor somewhere, we'll change the actor. You know, we have our own ways to do it storyline wise. Like, you know, if they wanted to change Captain America right now, they've introduced Bucky and they've introduced the Falcon, both of whom have become Captain America in the comic books. They can do it without batting an eyelash with one of these two young actors that they have in place. They don't have to go out and cast somebody brand new as Steve Rogers to continue with Captain America because the stories go. You know, with DC, Batman's always been Bruce Wayne outside of the handful of times that it was, you know, Dick Grayson or maybe a one-off of somebody else here and there.
Yeah.
But even now, even today, it's Bruce Wayne. And that's fine. But when you keep rolling over the actors and calling them all Bruce Wayne, people catch on. You know, it wasn't exactly a smooth move when you went from Michael Keaton to, was it Keaton to Clooney to Kilmer? Is that what it was back then?
It was Keaton to Kilmer to Clooney.
Okay. You know, three very different looking actors all in a row, yet they were all Bruce Wayne and it was all the same story. Like, it wasn't like they weren't reboots. They were all continuations essentially. And you're kind of like, huh? Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah. It was jarring. It was just like, but there were so many of them. We kind of, and that's the thing. It's like Batman kind of came off with the, at least the way that they were doing it back then, it felt a lot like 007, you know?
Yes.
So that's how they treated that franchise, like it was 007. And you get away with that with the cheeky, over-the-top villains, over-the-top costumes, way unnecessary puns. It's just, and it got away with it.
Well, but even that franchise, I don't know that the character, the James Bond character, is ever actually the real name. He's the super spy that they call James Bond 007. Mm-hmm. So it's not supposed to be the same person through every movie all through time, I don't think, unless I'm misunderstanding. I think it's a person who joins, you know, MI6 or whatever, you know, the group is who Bond is part of, and they're given the moniker James Bond, and they move on from there. So that kind of is how I think that works, and that's what makes it work. With this, it's Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is always the same person. It's the little boy whose family was killed in front of him, and he grew up to become one of the greatest heroes of all time.
Yeah.
When you all of a sudden put a new person in place and say, oh, he's now Bruce Wayne, people kind of go, no, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
But to go through the trouble of establishing this character, having him in two separate movies now with Justice League, and have him as this entrenched character, and then to go, we're going to do a solo Batman movie, but it's not going to be part of this universe, and it's going to be somebody else. It's just so confusing. Like,
yeah.
You can't weave stories together that way. Now you've got people trying to follow. Like, part of the, again, going back to Marvel with their blueprint, if you start at Iron Man and watch all of the movies, you see how they all intertwine.
Right.
You can pick up the pieces in all the different movies and see how they all put together.
Yeah, all those pieces slide right into each other and build upon a bigger, what I like to call saga. So, right now we're watching Saga 1. And, you know, we had this conversation earlier. It's like it feels like they had this planned out from day one. They put into their plan contingencies just in case, hey, we're going to try to acquire this character. If we can get him, we'll do this. If we can't, we'll go this route. Because they had a solid plan for Civil War if they didn't and if they did have Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, the entire movie was already written before they even had him.
Yeah.
Was my understanding that they actually had to go back and make some changes when they finally made it. Because that was the big thing, was that Black Panther was going to be the Spider-Man kind of role in Civil War. He was going to kind of be the guy on both sides.
Right.
And then they got Spider-Man and they kind of changed things up a little bit. So they have their contingencies in place, but they're also not creating these movies that aren't attached to anything.
Yeah.
You know, like the Batman standalone movie where it's a whole new actor and it's not part of the DCEU. How confusing does that get for people who don't, you know, people who know the Batman character and want to go see it, but don't really follow the stories? It's not going to make any sense.
Yeah. And it's like the only time I think we really have to worry about that in the Marvel Universe is like basically the Spider-Verse. It's like all these little things that they're putting out that may be on the side. And this is because they have a whole nother production company involved in the story of this character. This is one production company, and they're muddying up their own timeline with standalone movies.
And I'm not sure I understand the want to do all these standalone movies that they're saying aren't going to be part of it. Because the other one is, the other big one they're talking about now is the Joker standalone movie.
Right.
How it's going to be an origin story, and how it's going to be, it's not going to be Leto. It's going to be somebody else. It's going to be, you know, DiCaprio, or the guy from The Walking Dead wants to play it, or the guy from Death Note wants to play the Joker. Karen Gillan wants to play the Joker. I don't understand. The idea of a Joker standalone movie to me is weird in general.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's a really popular character.
Right.
But I don't see how you do. So the first thought I have is, yes, there is a popular origin story for the Joker about he's a comedian who loses his job, and now he's working for a gang because they're going to give him money, and he becomes the Red Hood. And he goes in the chemical plant, he falls in the chemical vat, and he comes out with the white skin, the green hair, and basically turns into a sane madman. But the other point behind all that is nobody ever really knows in the DCEU if that's true.
Yeah.
Because it's always been that whole thing of he doesn't even really know because he's crazy. He's insane. He doesn't actually know. And if he does, he's not telling anybody the truth, and he changes it every time he tells the story, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and now I'm reading that part of the story is going to be him as a young kid, that he's a bully victim, that he's a kid with a quote-unquote permanent smile, and he gets made fun of for it. You know, now people are saying, well, the permanent smile must mean a facial disfiguration. You know, and that's how he's got the Joker smile, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, why are you trying to pin this down? Like, just leave him as the bad. Like, how many bad guys, if you think about it, how many bad guys have ever actually gotten their own origin story movie?
Not a lot.
I can't think of any.
And they're now, like, this is a recent, kind of, I feel like, recent development. Like, this is, like, the new thing now. So you got Sony trying to do the, you know, Venom standalone movie, and you got, you know, Silver Sabre and Black Cat, and now you got DC trying to do Harley and Joker or the Gotham Sirens, like this whole, and then even with the Suicide Squad, it's like this recent development of creating storylines where the villain is the focus and the villain is the protagonist. So, like, I don't know. I just, there's never been a precedent. There's never been a precedent for it. It's like we've seen anti-heroes on film. We just haven't seen, like, villains on film.
Well, and that's actually a point I was just going to make is most of the ones you mentioned, Suicide Squad, Venom, the City, Gotham City Sirens, Sable, and Black Cat, they can be considered anti-heroes. So you can kind of work a movie that way in the sense that, yeah, in the long run, they're bad guys, but they're going to do heroic things.
Right.
The Joker's not going to do that. That's not that character. There's in no way, shape, or form in any realm that I have ever seen ever does he have a okay, the Lego Batman movie is the only time we've seen the Joker have a heroic side to him, and that sure as hell doesn't count.
Yeah, that's an obscure pocket universe where they can do that.
Exactly. Okay. This is a character who takes pride in killing people just because it makes him laugh. Like, there's, you know, it's not a character who can in any way be considered an anti-hero or a hero or anything like that. So trying to do an origin story for a mass murderer just doesn't make any sense to me. And now I'm reading Jared Leto's mad because they're asking somebody else to be the Joker in that movie. It's just such a mess. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because I mean, really, like, just not on the side that it doesn't make any sense. Like if you think about it, okay, even if you want to talk about movies about, like, Jeffrey Dahmer or the Dahlia Killer, like things like that, like, you know, the Zodiac Killer, they weren't the focus of those films. They were part of that film, but they weren't the focus of that film. So, like, making a villain-centered movie on a villain that is completely apathetic and only wants destruction, like, that's something that's going to be hard to do. And then, like, you're talking about within, like, even if you just think about in lines of a company doing a project with one person and then having the audacity to say, hey, we're going to hire another person to do this same role, but it's going to be separate from the project that you're doing, but it's going to be the same role. Like, that's like disrespectful to the most.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, because, and then, all right, so let's play out a scenario. So, like, you and I were talking offline, the Joker standalone movie is a Scorsese movie. Mm-hmm. Probably the best idea about the whole thing is that it's a Scorsese movie, because that man doesn't really do bad movies that I remember or aware of. The rumor is that he wants Leonardo DiCaprio to play the Joker in his movie. Okay, fine. Scorsese puts the movie together. He brings in DiCaprio. Suppose now DiCaprio goes out and puts in a performance that buries Heath Ledger's Joker. It's just amazing. It's just, you know, Oscar-worthy Joker performance, which would, you know, be mind-blowing to me if it was possible to do that. But let's put that out there and see that happens. Now you've got this standalone side Joker movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, who absolutely crushes it. You go back to the regular DCEU, and here's Jared Leto, who, if you read comments, is probably a 75 against, 25% for people who liked his performance. Right. You know, 75% of people didn't like it, 25% of people did. What happens to that? Like, now you're going to get all these people going, this Joker sucks, give DiCaprio that role. You know, now let us got to go, hey, wait a minute. I've already done this. I'm already entrenched here. You want to get rid of me just because he did one good movie? And everybody's going to go, yes. You know, it's like, like, so even beyond the disrespect, which I 100% agree with you on.
Right.
Now you run that risk of going, wow, he's so much better. We should really put him in it. And the same thing holds true for a Batman standalone movie.
Yeah.
If you go out and you get, I don't know, throw a name out there because I threw his name out there before, John Hamm.
Yeah.
To play that standalone movie. would probably be very good, because John Hamm's a great actor and he's got the right kind of look. I don't know if he can do the action per se. I don't know him well enough, but crush it. And I liked Affleck as Batman. I'm probably one of the few people who actually likes Ben Affleck in general.
Yeah. I like Ben Affleck. He was really good. I was one of the few that was like, okay, I'm kind of excited for him to play Batman when they casted him.
Yeah, when they cast him, you and I talked a bunch of different times about got to give this guy a shot, because he's a legit performer and he's going to do pretty well. And he did. I thought he did. But again, they do the Batman standalone movie. Mm-hmm. John Hamm goes out and just say he's a better Batman. Now what do you do? Now you've got two Batmen, one better than the other. Do you make the change? Or do you sacrifice what could potentially be a better franchise? I just don't understand the thinking behind any of that. I really don't.
It doesn't make any sense. No. And I mean, like, and then, you know, outside of all of that, you know, we talked about the Joker standalone movie. We got these Harley plots that may be going on. So you got Joker, who at first we heard Joker versus Harley, and then now it's this Joker and Harley. So it's supposed to be like a love crime genre. I'm guessing like a Bonnie and Clyde type of deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like the Harley character too, but Harley does not, she's never existed well on her own. She's always been great as a foil to someone else. Like, she needs a straight man. Like, that's just how it works. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, and then you got Gotham Sirens. Is that still a thing, or are they scrapping that to focus more on the Joker and Harley, and the Sirens are going to just be supplemental characters?
So again, that's one I don't know. That's another one of those, like I said before, where one day the article says Gotham City Sirens scrapped for Joker versus Harley Quinn, and then 2 days later there's another article that says, well, hold on, that's not true. We're still going to do Gotham City Sirens. We're just going to do Joker versus Harley Quinn first.
Yeah.
And it's like, you start to wonder if they're going to oversaturate the old Harley Quinn market. You know, I realize everybody loved the character, and Margot Robbie was very good, and she's very sexy, and she's, you know, all that stuff as far as the character's concerned. She does it right.
Yeah.
But if you put out, let's say, 5 movies in a span of 2 years, and she's in every single one of them as a major player as Harley Quinn, it's going to get pretty stale pretty quick. You know, I mean, it's not like she's going to be showing up in these movies for 5 seconds or 5 minutes and then disappear.
Right.
In a Joker Harley Quinn movie, in a Gotham City Sirens movie, in a Suicide Squad movie, she's going to be a major player. And you're going to kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, we've kind of had enough of you already, and things are going to kind of start to burn out.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, run with your popular players. Run with the ones who are going to bring you movies. Run with the ones who are going to sell your merch and your Halloween costumes and all that. But at the same time, at some point, people are going to go, I've seen it already. You know, and move on. Like,
yeah, man.
Robert Downey Jr. might be the most popular character in the Marvel Universe as far as actors go and as far as his character goes. Mm-hmm. He's been in the most movies, I think, of everybody in those series, but he hasn't been in every single one.
Right.
You know, it's been every couple of years he pops up as Tony Stark, whether it's, you know, Iron Man 1 year, Avengers next year, and then 2 years after that, the next Avengers or whatever. But they don't cram him down your throat. You don't see him every 10 minutes.
No. Yeah.
And I think that's what, like, that I think was one of the more pleasant surprise things with Spider-Man that people were pleasantly surprised by, was the fact that if you watch the trailers for Spider-Man, it looks like he's in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you go watch the movie, he's in it for maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
If that, you know, so I think that was the thing that pleasantly surprised people, that they could go, well, yeah, they didn't cram Iron Man down our throats in Spider-Man movie like it looked like they were going to. But with these movies, the way they seem, you know, she's going to be a huge part of them, and that's, you know, time will tell, obviously, but I think that'll get pretty old pretty quick.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one thing I'll argue in favor of all of this offshoot one-shot stuff is the opportunity, one, yeah, we get to see people take these roles who wouldn't have originally been casted in the DCEU. So you think like, oh, Joker, you have an opportunity to see somebody like Leonardo DiCaprio take the role. You have an opportunity to see somebody like Willem Dafoe take the role, Karen Gillan take the role. You know what I'm saying? Like this is nice in the fact that, hey, we get these little pocket standalones, but you have to be able to reconcile the fact that we're not looking at the DCEU. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be not so much upset, but like kind of bothered that this one movie that they're looking at doesn't fit in with the rest of the movies that they're looking at that are supposed to be in the same universe.
Right.
You know, but then you got like, You have like a chance to tell like the one shoots that you wouldn't have gotten a chance to see before. Like there's a possible, this is really reaching right now. But like if you look at these one shots, it's like, oh, can we get like maybe an Injustice movie? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Something like that where we can play with, you know, the morality of like well-known superheroes like Superman, you know, and the Flash and Green Lantern, like will we be able to get to see these guys? I mean, if you're going to do these, they're, because basically what they're saying is these DC offshoots are supposed to set up a subset brand within WB. So yeah, we have the DC cinematic universe, but we're also going to have the DC, whatever they'll call it, DC one shots or DC what, or DC Elseworlds type of branding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's just like, I don't know. Like, how can you get behind it if you're like not hammered down to one solid storyline yet?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. But I just, and I agree with you. Like I personally don't have a huge problem with some of these offshoots. I mean, I don't like the idea of doing so many of them.
Yeah.
With similar characters. Like, look, do you want to do a one-shot offshot Shazam movie? I got no problem with that because it doesn't sound like you have plans to include Shazam in the DCEU. So to have his own one-shot movie that's separate from the rest of it, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
There's no tie. But when it's a character as major as Batman, you're going to cause confusion. You know, you're going to get what I think you've run into possibly down the line is you're going to run this Batman standalone movie, and there will be people coming in for the first time. Again, let's say it's John Hamm, who are John Hamm fans who go see the Batman movie, and they're like, this is fantastic. John Hamm's a great Batman, blah, 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 blah. The next DC movie that comes out that's got Batman in it, not everybody's going to be paying attention. And they're going to go, oh, John Hamm must be in that. Let's go see that. And then they go to see it, and it's Ben Affleck. And they go, wait a minute, what the hell is this? You know what, yeah. I mean? Like, I just think that's kind of the confusion you cause when you do stuff like this. So I think it's difficult in the sense that I do like the idea of seeing different plays and, you know, different actors and see how they would perform in these character roles. I think doing them in conjunction with movies that are already running that have those characters majorly in them, Maybe it's the idea of talking about a Batman standalone movie while you're in the midst of releasing a movie that's got Batman in it that's going to be more confusing than it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, maybe wait another year or two before talking about the Batman standalone movie when there's no Justice League movie, when you're doing the Flash and the Cyborg movies, you know, and maybe that would be a little less confusing. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's like, even outside of all of that, then you have the news. You have the news about Justice League Dark. I know me and you, we've both kind of been really excited about the prospect of a Justice League Dark movie. And
it'll be interesting.
The first couple of news items we heard about it, it was like they were playing it off like a horror film. So I'm like, okay, so now they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And then that got scrapped. And then we had the DCEU take shape, and you know, then we heard little inklings of it again after, you know, Matt Ryan had made so many appearances as John Constantine. But now we're hearing that the pitch completely failed.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. And I mean, and not only was I excited because it sounded like a comic book horror movie, but it was Guillermo del Toro.
Right.
And you don't get much better visually for a movie like Justice League Dark, which is going to be demons and you know, ghouls and things like that, than a guy like Del Toro, because whatever drugs are still kicking around that man's system, he some yeah, of the man. Most killer looking demons and weirdo things, you know. I mean, just go watch what's the movie?
The Hellboy franchise, I know at least.
Well, Hellboy, but not the other one I'm thinking of with
Pan's Labyrinth.
Thank you, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, there we go.
Just go watch that and look at the creatures that man creates in that movie, and then imagine them taken to a whole new darker level. Not that Pan's Labyrinth wasn't dark, because it was, but to a whole new darker level. You know, it would just be amazing to see that those visuals that he would have been able to come up with. I'm not even sure if he's still tied to it. I doubt that he is.
Yeah, I don't think he's tied to it anymore, but yeah.
So there was a script apparently, and they had the people who created the script, and they went and pitched it to the executives, and the executives apparently went, nah. And now they're taking it all the way back to square one, and they're going to redo the whole script. You know, so it's – I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's just all these different things that are coming out. I don't often like to use the phrase dumpster fire, but it really does kind of feel like that's some of what's happening here with DC and what they've got going.
Yeah, man, it doesn't seem positive. It does, I don't have a lot of faith in where the franchise is going. I've been trying to hang on, you know. I definitely want to see Justice League, but man, the prospect of these offshoots, all of this like focusing on the wrong characters, and just like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, if you wanted to get Scorsese in on something, you should have got him in early from the ground level, and did it there instead of trying to use him as an offshoot in a movie using a character who we'll never see again. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah,
it really doesn't.
So normally at this point we put in some questions from the Boss Fam, from you guys out there, but since we're starting this off right now, we're basically just going to leave room to let you know about it. So basically what you can do is just send us your questions on Twitter. Just tweet us at the Boss's Desk, or you can send us questions via email at questions@thebossesdesk.com, and you know, we'll go through them, we'll pick questions, and this segment will normally go through and we'll answer questions. So if you have any questions about this podcast or previous podcasts, or just something in particular within the geek movie news and reviews field, we'll talk about it, and then we'll discuss it here on this segment. So just give us a shot and send us out a tweet and some questions, and we'll get it started for the next time we do this. But that's pretty much it, man. Like, we talked about DCEU, where it's going. You know, keep an eye out for us, because we're gonna be doing a lot more of these hot topic type podcasts moving forward, so you guys can hear our opinion and takes on different things that happen on in the movie world, geek movie world, and anything surrounded by it. So that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook under The Boss's Desk. Like I said before, you can find us on Twitter at The Boss's Desk. YouTube, The Boss's Desk as well, where you'll find all these podcasts. We'll put these on our Facebook as well. And don't forget to send out your questions, man. So we'll catch you next week or next podcast, man. And that's it from the Big Boss and the Professor. We're out.
Hey, buddy. That's it.